Last week, some of you were praying for me, and I needed it. I was supposed to be with Brother Jabe up at Gainesville doing some vacation Bible schools, and he called me the week before and said, could you take the meeting Sunday and Monday for me, because I'm not going to be able to make it, because they are having problems there at the press. Probably with these Sunday school materials, Brother was mentioning. And Monday came, and I went through it, and it's over with. And then Monday night, his dad called and said that everybody got sick there, and one of the presses broke down, so he wasn't able to make it at all. So we had all the children's meetings of the week. The Locks sent their love to the believers here, and the Irwins, some who used to be down this way, and we might pray for the assembly up there. On Saturday, yesterday, I stopped by Bob Saunders' home and visited with him for a little while. He just gave me a few of his new tapes, so I already promised those to a few here, but he'll be sending me more in a couple weeks. But I do have several of their original tape that they redid of the three brothers singing. Some of you may have had that record. And if you want to, if your record's worn out like ours was and you'd like to get a tape, I've got some here with me. Our study this morning is in Jeremiah chapter 36. And the subject is the inspiration of the Word of God. When we think just about that word, it's in spirit, inspiration. And it literally means that the Word of God is God-breathed. And it's important for us to recognize that this book that we hold in our hands is indeed the Word of God, that it's not the words of men merely. It is indeed the Word of God. There are 66 books that we have in the Bible written by over 30 writers. I say over 30 because we're not really sure about some of the books who wrote them. And it was written over the period of 1,500 years of time. That's the book that we hold in our hands. It's a living book. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, we read that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And it's an eternal Word. The psalmist could say, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's everlasting in its nature. The Lord Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Some of us have hundreds of books on our bookshelves. I do, and I know I'm never going to get through them. And the thing to realize is every book that we have, every magazine that we have in our homes, all of those one day are going to be gone. There's only going to be one book that's going to last. It's that book. That should tell us what book we should be reading, shouldn't we? It's an everlasting book. In John 21, verse 25, he tells us there were many other things that Jesus did. He said he supposed that if books should be written about those things, that not even the world itself could contain the books that should be written, he said. And he said, amen. Those are the last words of John's gospel. He told us that these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing in him, you might have life through his name. We remember that many men, we even hear some today in our day and time, they find a treasure map. Some of them are out west still looking for the treasure that they have in their map, supposedly. Some want to win the lottery. There's all kinds of things to get the treasure. But we know that the greatest treasure that's ever been given is the Word of God. It's God's map for everlasting life. The most important gift that we could ever receive is written in His Word. We heard the verse this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's breathed by God through men. It's profitable for doctrine or for teaching. There's many different teachings in the Bible. There's teachings about sin, about the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's all different teachings like that. That's what the apostle means by the doctrines of the Bible. For reproof, some of us don't like to read the Word of God because it reproves us. It tells us that the way we're living isn't the way God would have us live. And if you're not saved here this morning, you're really still dead in your trespasses and sin, as the Bible tells us. And none of us likes to hear that. We don't want to hear that we're sinners, but that's what God's Word says. He tells the truth. And the truth is hard to take sometimes. But not only does God tell us about ourselves, he also gives us correction, or a way to correct sin in our lives. There's only one correction, that's the Lord Jesus himself. Not only does he reprove us of sin, but he gives the scripture so that we as believers might reprove Satan. He comes against us, and what does the Lord say? Use the word of God. That's what he used to reprove Satan. And of course, error. People that are incorrect in their thinking, the word of God can reprove that. And instruction in righteousness, or how to live godly in this present evil world that we're living in. And what an evil world it is. I'm just getting sick and tired of it. I don't know about you, but this past week we were working with these kids. There were 10 kids that were from a foster home. And the only reason the mother was taking care of them just for the money she was getting from the government, $400 for each child. And the children, you could tell that they weren't loved at all, and they needed it. Bob Saunders is a principal at a school up there, and he told me that he asked his first grade teachers last year if they would remember how many of their children in their classes, out of 25, they had 25 in each class, how many came from homes with both parents still in the home. And the answers were 7, 6, 5, and 4. That's how many kids out of 25 in the different classes came from homes where still both parents were there. Tremendously sad. We live in a sad world of families falling apart. And God would teach us through his word how he would have us to live. That the man of God may be perfect, he tells us, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Do we want to be men and women of God? Or do we want to be men and women of the world? If we're going to be men and women of God, we must each spend time in the word of God. In the home, I can remember when Dad would open the word at home. Didn't matter what time it was. Didn't matter how long we talk as a family. The minute he started reading, the phone would ring. See, Satan doesn't want us in the word of God. But we need that time for ourselves. Husbands need it. And they need to watch the kids and let mommies have some time in the word too. So that we all might be perfect. In Genesis we read that God breathed into man the breath of life and he became a living soul. That's how man began to be alive. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and he became a living soul. And we remember the words of the Lord Jesus when he was speaking to the devil. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. That's for the physical man. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's spiritual life. If we're going to live spiritually, we must feed on the word of God. Remember, the Lord was healing the multitudes, and they all left him. And he turned to his disciples. He said, will ye also go away? And remember what Peter said. He said, thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure. Search the scriptures, the Lord Jesus said, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. It's important for each of us to look into the word of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul tells us, we'll get back to Jeremiah, and I'm getting there, don't think I'm not going to get there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 14, the Apostle Paul tells us how God delivers his word to man. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the word which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. It's the Spirit of God speaking through men, them being moved by the Spirit of God, that they wrote the Word of God. It's interesting, not only what God's Word says sometimes, but what it doesn't say, and whether it's plural a word or whether it's singular a word. God directed men very specifically in how they wrote his word. Let me just give one example of that in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed, singular, were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, because we know Abraham had more than one son, as of many, but as of one, and that seed is Christ. Speaking of one of Abraham's descendants, even the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's important how the Word of God puts things. God chose holy men, men that were separated to himself to write his word. We read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, he said, the prophecy didn't come at any time by the will of man, but holy men spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. These were men that knew God, knew and loved him, and he used them to write his word to us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, some of these men were writing, and they themselves did not know what they were writing. And he tells us that the prophets themselves looked into what they had written, searching what times the Lord Jesus was going to come. We read Isaiah 53, for instance, one of the most beautiful express chapters concerning the Lord Jesus. And Isaiah had to look into that himself to know what God had written through him. The Lord Jesus warns himself, and it's a good warning for us to listen to. In the last chapter of the Bible, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you, he says. And I testify that every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. It's a very dangerous thing to add to or to take away from what the Word of God has said. And all of us need to be careful of that. There's many religions in the world today. And we need to compare what is told us to what the Word of God says. The Bereans, they listen and they search the Scriptures to see if those things that they heard were true. Jeremiah 36, and we'll read from verse 1. It came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a scroll of a book, and write in it all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day I spoke unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Barak, the son of Neriah, and Barak wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of Jeremiah, is that what it says? All the words of the Lord, which he had spoken unto him upon a scroll of the book. And Jeremiah commanded Barak, saying, I am restrained, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore go and read in the scroll which thou hast written from my mouth the word of the Lord in the hearing of the people in the Lord's house upon the first on the fast day. And also thou shalt read them in the hearing of all of Judah who come out of their cities. It may be they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return every one from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people. And Barak the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book of the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And we can go down to verse 21. Let me just give you a little history so we don't have to read that much. He read the scroll to the people, and then the people, he went down and read it to the leaders, the spiritual leaders, the priests of that day, the princes rather. And then they wanted it to be read to the king. So that's where we pick up in verse 21. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the scroll, and he took it out of Elishama's, the scribe's, chamber. And Jehudi read in the hearing of the king and in the hearing of all the princes who stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four columns, he cut it with his penknife, and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the scroll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor tore their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Deliah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the scroll, but he would not hear them. Then verse 27. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after the king had burned the scroll, and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, Take thee again another scroll, and write in it all the former words that were in the first scroll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, hath burned. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Thus saith the Lord, Thou hast burned the scroll, saying, Why hast thou written in it, saying, The king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause a cease in it man and beast. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, He shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost, and I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity. And I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them. But they hearken not. Then took Jeremiah another scroll and gave it to Baruch, the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote it in from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book, which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And there were added beside unto them many like words. What was the reason for the message? God wrote a message, and he had a reason for it. And we read the reason in verse 7. Great is the anger of the Lord towards those in Judah. Great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against his people. What was the desired effect of the message? Well, we read that in verse 3. And notice that's what the Lord begins with. He begins with grace and mercy, and then he announces his judgment. But in verse 3, he says, It may be, if I write this message through Jeremiah, it may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way. In New Testament terms, that they may repent. That they might turn from their evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. That was God's reason for writing the message that he wrote. And that's God's reason for the whole Bible. He wrote the Bible that we all might learn our true condition before a holy God, that we're all sinners. All of us have sinned and we come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. That's why God hates sin so much, is it causes death. The other day I was driving my car, you know, and I hit a bird, and it hurt me, you know. And a dog grabbed a cat, and a big old dog from next door came and grabbed a cat and broke its neck and killed it the other day. And you look at that and you say, that's the result of sin. One day all that's going to be made right when the Lord comes to reign. That's why he hates it. Sin causes death. That's the end result of it. And yet he tells us also that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God tells us the problem, and he gives us the solution. How dreadful it would be if this book, all it told us about is we were sinners and we were going to hell. That's the truth. And yet it also gives us a remedy, a wonderful remedy. The Lord Jesus came and died that we might have life and have it more abundantly. The recording of the message. Jeremiah tells us in verse 4 that Jeremiah called Baruch the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him. We heard this morning in the morning meeting something very similar from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I have delivered unto you that which I also was delivered unto me by the Lord. He says, I'm telling you what the Lord told me to tell Hugh. And that's what Jeremiah tells Baruch here, to write the words that the Lord had given to him. And that's true throughout the whole book of the Bible. One thing that we can be cautious about is if something's written today, I can pretty surely tell you that it's not part of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that God spoke in times past by the prophets, and in these last days he's spoken unto us by his Son. The Lord Jesus was the last messenger. Paul referred that he received his message from the Lord Jesus. And John, in Revelation, the last book of the Bible, his revelation was of the Lord Jesus. It came from the Lord. And so we're sure that there's nothing needed to be added to the Word of God today. The reading of the message in verses 8 through 10 of Jeremiah 36, we read that Barak read the message that God had delivered to Jeremiah to the people. And the reason he did it and not Jeremiah is because Jeremiah was restricted from the temple. The princes told him he could not come there. We read from previous chapters. So he sent Barak to read the message that God had given to him. And from there, we read in verses 11 through 19 that Barak read the message to the princes of Judah. He read it to the common people, then he read it to the princes, and we read that when he read it to the princes, they were afraid. They feared from the Word of God. And that's a good thing when the Word of God has an effect on us. The fear of the Lord is a good thing. We should be afraid of Him because we're all sinners. And what we deserve is to go to hell. I was listening to a tape on by Rob Linstead going up to Gainesville about the New Age movement. And he's mentioning even the commercials. McDonald's tells you, you deserve a break today. And he said, if we all got what we deserved, we'd all be in hell. That's what we deserve. That's what the Word of God says. But the Lord came to deliver us from death and hell. The princes were afraid, and then they wanted the king to hear the message. And Jehudi, the king's private reader, read to him the message that God had given to Jeremiah. And we read what he did with it, didn't we? He'd read a little bit. The king would take out his knife, cut the scroll, ball it up, throw it in the fire. And when he read the whole message, all of it was gone. He bundled it all up and threw it in the fire. That's what his appraisal of the Word of God was. But that doesn't stop God, and it doesn't change his Word. I can take this book, and I can throw it in the garbage. But doesn't change one iota what God has said. It's all true. And it's going to last forever. This book has been through more in history than any book has ever been written. We're fortunate that we even have it in our possession today. Men and women gave their lives so that we might possess the Word of God. Of course, God, we know, was protecting His Word so that we would have it today. And we should appreciate that fact. The reading of the message, we read it today. Not what I say is important, it's what the Word of God says is important. And not only just to hear it, but to obey what it says. The Lord Jesus said, he that has the Son has life, but he that doesn't have the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Do you have the Son this morning? That's the question. You've heard His Word. Do you have the Lord Jesus as your Savior? If you don't, He says the wrath of God abides on you. That's just as true as the fact that we're saved when we accept the Lord Jesus. The reading of the message, when we hear it, does it move us? Do we realize who these words come from? I remember when I was young, you know, my brother and sister would come and say, you need to go to dinner. And I'd say, I'll go when I want to go. And then they'd add this to it. But Dad said, come to dinner. That was different. That had some authority to it. And when we read the Word of God, it's His authoritative Word. When He speaks, we better listen and move and act and obey His Word. And partial obedience is no obedience at all. We think we can partially obey the Lord. That really isn't obedience. When He speaks to us, we need to obey what He says. And I'm just as guilty of disobeying His Word. The Lord Jesus, when He prayed, He said, Thy will be done on earth as in heaven, right? I pray and I ask the Lord for something. He tells Gabriel, I want you to go and give Keith the answer. And Gabriel says, well, I'm kind of busy. I'll get to that in a couple of weeks. That's not what he says. He obeys immediately. And God speaks to us, and we should obey Him when He speaks to us. The reading of the message, the rejection of the message. In verse 23, he cut all the scroll and threw it away, even though his right-hand men, the princes of the country, warned him and pleaded with him not to do that. He cut it all up and threw it out. What a dangerous thing that is to do. Even today, we can do that. We might not actually physically cut it up, but we do it in the fact that we don't listen to what God has said. Listen to these words of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 12 and verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now, the Lord Jesus said that, and we read in Revelation chapter 20 that that's exactly what happens. For this is what we read there. The dead, the spiritually dead, were judged out of those things which were written in the books. What books? 66 of them. That's what they were judged by, what the Lord Jesus said. He that doesn't accept me, he that doesn't regard me, and rejects him, doesn't receive his words, hath one that judgeth him. It's his word. His word does not change. It's the same, just as the Lord Jesus is the same. And then we have the rewriting of the message. The Lord sent another message to this evil king. Told Jeremiah, get another scroll. I'm going to write another message to him. And he wrote this king again and told him that what he had said before was the absolute truth, what was going to happen to the nation. Remember Moses, when he got the law, when he got the Ten Commandments, he came down and he broke the law, didn't he? Men had already disobeyed God's word, and yet the Lord wrote it again, didn't he? But he put it somewhere where only one could keep the law, and he put it in the ark, which was a picture of the Lord Jesus. He was the only one who could keep the law. God doesn't just speak once to us. It's a wonderful thing. He speaks twice, three times, and yet we don't understand what he's telling us. And in my life, God has spoken to me many times, and I might not be listening, but he'll get my attention, and he'll wake me up to what he has said. And he has patience with us. He's long-suffering, he tells us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's his love letter. Yes, there are some very frightening things in the Word of God. The Lord Jesus spoke more of hell than he did of heaven, but we're afraid to say that. We're afraid to say you're going to hell if you don't accept Christ. But that's the truth. If you reject the Lord Jesus, there's no hope for you. But if you accept him, you have eternal life. And that's not what I say. That's what God's Word says. He that hath the Son hath everlasting life. It's inspired. It's a living Word. It's the only book that will last. It's the Word of God. We've just said a few things about Jeremiah, but it gives us a picture of how the whole Word of God was inspired and how God worked through men. What poor instruments he had to work with, and yet his Word is still perfect because whatever God does is perfect. Remember what Solomon said, whatever God does, it shall be forever. It will last. So let's read the Word of God, those of us who are believers, so that we might be thoroughly furnished unto every good work, be perfect and mature in the Lord Jesus. And if you're not saved this morning, we pray for you. Every indicator around us seems like the Lord's coming is very near. Might be this morning. If you're left behind, there will be no more opportunity for you to trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. If you died today, there'd be no more opportunity for you to be saved. So we would beg you in the Lord's name that you would accept him as your Savior before it's too late. Ask Brother Calvin to close in a word of prayer for us.